All right, we're starting here on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off at the top of Daf with Vehilchata. Mishipo Yokovo Lamato Ksheira. This is what we left off with, that the halacha is that from the Shipo Yakovo, which if you see the pictures that I sent out on the top of the second page, you can see that it's the top of the thyroid cartilage where the incline goes up. From that point and downward towards the lungs, that's the Makom HaShchita. Behind you, the Shaira Bechite. That assumes that he leaves over the chite. We discussed that the chite were the arytenoid cartilage. And if you look there on that picture that I show you, there's an anterior view and posterior view. And I drew a line across which shows you that if you shecht below the shipoi ha'kova from that point downward, you actually will end up cutting through the chite. And that would ensure that there was shear bechite, that the chite would be left over because they are above that area. So that was the conclusion of the Gemara. Rav Nachman, Akshir Mishipoy Kova Lamato. Rav Nachman was Makshir from the Shipoy Kova and downward, exactly what we just said in the Gemara. So I'm a Rav Chanan bar Rav Katino, the Rav Nachman. Come on, who are you holding like? Loka Rabbanon, Veloka Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. You hold like neither the Rabbanon Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon and our Mishnah argue about the Tabat HaGdola. They both agree that the Tabat HaGdola and downward is the Makoma Shchita, for instance, the cricoid cartilage, the top Tabat and downward. That is the Makom HaShchita. They just argue about what's considered Hagroma. How far, if you have, do you have to keep Kula, like the Rabbanan, inside the Tabat HaGdola? Or according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, you have to keep Ruba inside of the Tabat HaGdola. But everybody agrees it's no higher than the Tabat HaGdola that you can do the Makom HaShchita. If you're talking about the Chodo Dekova or the Shipo Yakova, we're talking about something that is in the thyroid cartilage, is above the Tabat HaGdola. So who are you holding like? Dermalei, Ana lo chilek yadana, velo bilek yadana. So Rashi over here gives an interpretation of what Chilek and Bilek mean in the context of Shchita. It was actually seen in Rashi quotes it from Perka Chilek. And Chilek and Bilek are basically meaningless words. He says, I don't know this, I don't know that expression. That was a common expression that was used. It just means that it's not relevant. I don't know about this, what you're talking about. I don't know what that you're talking about. Ella, what I am, Yadano, Aina, Shmaito Yadano. I have a memro, and that's what I'm relying on. I'm relying on this Maito. The Amr Bechir Ba'avam Rabbi Yochanan. V'amri lo, Amri Abbo Bar Zavdo Amr Rabbi Chanina. V'amri lo, Amr Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Amr Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Shipo Yikobo Lamato Ksheira. So I'm relying on that memro. The Shipo Yikobo below is considered to be the Makom HaShchita. V'amr Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Mugremet Rabbanan Ksheira the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. De Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Ksheira the Rabbi Chanina Ben Antigonus. This is easy to understand, which is that the Chachamim believe that you have to contain the entire Shchita below the Tabat HaGdola. If you go out of the Tabat HaGdola whatsoever, then it's a problematic Shchita. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that's only true for the rove. You have to have the rove of the Shchita inside of the Tabat, but the miut, the remainder, can go outside the Tabat. So in that context, if the Rabbonon, if you went through the rove of the Tabat HaGdola, and then you went above it, you were mugremet, you pushed out of it and went above it, then according to Rabbonon, that would be a Shchita psula. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that would be a Shchita ksheira. That's what the Gemara means here, that the Mugremet of the Rabbanan will be classified as Mugremet according to the Rabbanan, would be a kosher Shchita according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And then, for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you have to at least have the rove inside the Tabat HaGdola. If you exit the Tabat HaGdola for more than rove, then it's not considered or qualified as a good Shchita. But if you go outside the Tabat HaGdola, you're still below the Shipo Yakova. So for Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, who we saw on yesterday's daf, Kaid, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Mugremet shi kshira. Gremet is kshira, meaning when you leave the Tabat HaGdola, then it's fine. That's when you go above the Tabat HaGdola. According to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, that would be a shkita psula. Nevertheless, for Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that would be a shkita kshira. Where it says pshita, it's pretty straightforward. Why do you need to tell me this? So ma detema, I would have thought Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus ad rabbonon kai. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus' statement is made almost independent. It just says that Mugremet is Kshera. But we don't know who he's referring to. Is he referring to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, or is he referring to the Rabbanon? So it's possible that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda was addressing the Rabbanon's position. The Rabbanon who say that it has to be entirely inside the Tabat HaGdola. He says there Mugremet is Kshera. The Gemara says maybe that would be the case. Hamash Malon, that's not it. But rather, he's arguing even on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He argues even on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you do, you have to have the robe inside the Tabat HaGdola, Chanina ben Antigonus says you don't have to have anything inside the Tabat HaGdola. Mar says, Vehim ha'chanami. How do you really know that Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is actually arguing on the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, not just the Chachamim? Mar says, Imkeid he'id alei mi'vayid lei. Because of the way that it's termed, if he was referring to the Rabbanan, who are speaking before, who say Shkitatok Sheira, then and Mugremet Psula, it should say Heid Alei. On that position, Rabbi Chanina ben Dugas says Mugremet Sheira, because he's found in the same Braita, and therefore he should have made a reference to it, Alei. The fact that he doesn't make a reference to it makes it sound like that he's arguing on Mugremet in general. Anybody who thinks that Mugremet is problematic, he says is fine. And that would be both Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim. And the Gemara concludes, V'hilchotok Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. In the end, the loch is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Shipui and Koba below is kosher for Shkita. Why? The Koi Rav Nachman Kabatei. Nachman, who's a Dayan, who carries a lot of weight in the locha, he paskin like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. So since he paskin like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that's going to push us to say the locha is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Even though Rashi mentioned yesterday that truthfully the locha is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, the Gemara says heid about Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, and he says anywhere the Gemara says heid, it means the locha kimoto, the locha is like him. So I don't know if that was because Rav Nachman had paskin like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that's before they wrote in the Gemara heid, or is the heid the lashon from the Braita, the lashon from earlier time? And that was an indication to us that we pass like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. That's why Rav Nachman passed like him as well. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. So now Rav Huna quotes something in the name of Rav Asi. The Rav Asi that we're talking about here is the, we'll call him Rav Asi Agadol. It's Rav Asi, who was very early on, he was someone who was a Chaveiro Sherav Kahano, that he was a great Amora that could argue or could speak at the level of Rav. Because we're not talking about the latter, we'll call him Rav Asi Akatan, who was much younger and came way after Rav Huna. Rav Huna wouldn't be quoting him. The fact that Rav Huna is quoting him already indicates that he was a very early Amora, and he's a Mora who was a peer of Rav Kahano. Today it says, Machloket. The Machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is B'Shashachat Shnei Shlish V'Higrim Shlish. The first two-thirds of the Shechita he did inside the Tabat HaGdolah. For the last third, he pushed out of the Tabat HaGdolah above it, where it wasn't in a Mokon, that was a Kosher Shechita. That's where their Machloket is. D'Rabbanan Tzavrei, Kula Shechita B'Inim B'Tabat HaGdolah. Rabbanan are straightforward. They have to have a entire shechita be inside the Tabat HaGdolah. You're not allowed outside of the Tabat HaGdolah whatsoever. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Rubo Kukulo. That's exactly. It's Rubo Kukulo. So if I got to the rove that was inside the Mokum HaShechita, I don't have to worry about what happened after that point in time. Aval, on the other hand, Higrim Shlish, V'chshachat Shnei Shlish. If he did Agram, I mean, he started outside the Mokum HaShechita for the first third. And then for the remaining two-thirds, he moved into the Mokum HaShechita. Divrei Hakol Psula. Everybody agrees there that it's pasul, dechi nafka chiyuta, because when the animal's life leaves it, I mean when it dies, bein and ruba deshchita, you have to have reached to that point a robe shchita, veleka, and that's not possible here. Because the first third you did out of the makom shchita, that means that by the time you finish the next third, you've done the robe of the shchita, the animal's going to die at that point. When it dies at that point, you've done one third no shchita, one third a shchita, and now you have a third left to go, but the animal's dead. So the only thing that would qualify as a shechita is before the animal dies. And in that time period, you only did half of the rove. You didn't do the rove. And therefore, you don't have a shechita, a rove shechita at the point of death. So basically, or a chakira that you could mention over here is a din in rubo kukulo, which is when we say that something is rubo kukulo, my brother-in-law points this out, that it also applies by mixas ayom kukulo, you have the same thing. When we say something is mixas ayom kukulo, does that mean that we view it as if it's a heter, it's a special dispensation, that if you want to do mixas ayom kukulo, you can't. That it's as if you did the whole day. But if you decide that you don't want to do that, and you want to do the kulo yoma, you can do the whole day. And so it's over here. Shechita is okay by rove. But if you want to continue to do shechita afterwards, that's fine as well. You're allowed to stop at the rove, but you can continue to do shechita afterwards. The other possibility is that when we say rubo kukulo, mixas ayom kukulo, that's it. Once you've hit the rove, the shechita is over. Everything you do after that point in time is meaningless. Same thing with Mixat Ayom Kukulo. When we say Mixat Ayom Kukulo, it means that once you've completed that Mixat Ayom, that's it. You've done, you've discharged your obligation, you're not allowed to do anymore. You can't be in Avel for the whole day. You can't remain in Avel for a day because Mixat Ayom Kukulo means that's the end, that's the termination of the Avelut, and there is no Avelut. It's meaningless to have Avelut after that point in time. And when we say over here that everybody agrees, Divrei Hakol Psula, over here we're saying he did the rove of the Shechita, a third of it was outside, a third of it was inside. And then the animal dies. Everything you do after that point in time is considered to be meaningless. Well, why is it meaningless after that point in time? If it's considered that the shechita is the kulo, then it's still part of the shechita, and you will have a robe shechita. Elo, what you're going to say? That rubo kukulo means once you've hit the robe, there's nothing more to do. Everything you do after that point in time, once you hit the point of the robe, is chatichat basar ba'alma. That's the way Rashi terms it over here. Once you go past the point of robe, anything you do after that point in time is v'gamar la shechita berubo, umikan ve'elech mechatech basar shkuta ba'almahu. It's like you're cutting meat. It's as if you're like a butcher cutting up meat to put it in the refrigerator. That's that what you're doing. After the point you reach rove, there is no concept of shlita after that point in time. And we'll see throughout today's daf that we'll have see this machlokas appear a number of times. So this chakira might be relevant a number of times. When we talk about rubo kukulo, or when we speak about this idea that shchita might end at a certain point in time and terminate at that point, then you can't do anything after that point that will change the status of the shchita. So that's the first explanation of what we are suggesting over here, that the machlok between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanon is about a case where he did the first two-thirds properly, and he's higrim in the last third. That's where the machlok is. But, on the other hand, if he did the first third outside of the makom shchita and then the next two-thirds inside the makom shchita, everybody would agree that it's psula, because you didn't have ruba b'shchita by the time of the termination of the life of the animal. So I'm like, Rav Chista, other Rabba. Rav Chista says, wait, why can't you just say the opposite? Lema, mar ipcha. Why don't you say just the opposite? Machloke, shehi grim shlish v'shachach ne shlish. The machloke between Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, and the Rabbanan is a case where he starts out of the makom shchita. He does the remaining two-thirds in the makom shchita. The Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, savar mida dehava chati kane pagum. This is no different than a trachea, a windpipe, that is half of it missing. In the trefot, we're going to learn this later on, but when it comes to the trefot, when it comes to the veshet, when it comes to the esophagus, even the smallest hole in the esophagus, it makes the animal into a trefa. On the other hand, by the kane, the trefa of a kane is only if the rove of the kane is missing. In that, in its circumference, if a rove is missing, then it's pasul. But a hole in the kane, or a broken piece in the kane, is not considered to be a trefa. So over here, if a person and he ends up hitting a point where the kane is already cut, already broken. Not a trefa, because a broken, open trachea or a cut trachea is not necessarily a trefa. He has a chatzi kane pagum. So that's no different than that where he does shchita. And all he has to do is add on a little bit. Kane is already half broken. If he just cuts a little more, then that's the rove and the animal's going to die now. So even though he did no cutting until that point in time, and he cut just that little amount to bring it over to the rove, classified as a good shchita. Because at the moment of shchita, he had got into the rove and he did a shchita. So why is that different over here? Well, you do a shlish outside, a third outside, and then you come in. At the moment of death, you're doing shchita. You don't have rove shchita, but you're doing shchita, and that's what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion will be. On the other hand, the Rabbanon would disagree. Ata makom shchita, hachalach makom shchita. By the case of the kane pagum, you're talking about a case where the makom is a makom shchita, where the hole is a proper place for shchita. When you cut through the knife, you don't need to cut there because it's already cut. When you cut further, then you've done shchita. But over here, when you're doing the shchita outside of the makom shchita, that means that the severing that you're doing for the first third, it's impactful, but it's not classified as shchita, and that's problematic. You can't compare the two cases, because over there, hata makom shchita, by the case of the hole in the kanet, that's the place of shchita. When you continue it, then you complete shchita. Achalav makom shchita. Here, when you start outside of the position, there, outside of the makom shchita, it's problematic. Aval, everybody would agree, shachat shnei shlish v'igrim shlish. If he did the first two thirds as a proper shchita, and then only moved outside to finish the last third, divya kok shera. Even the Rabbanan in that case would agree. That's not, because we have an explicit Mishnah later on that rubo shalachad kamo, when we're talking about the kaneh, that the rove is considered like the hole. That rubo shalachad kamo is a stam Mishnah that says that everybody agrees that rove siman is kekulo. So we don't see the chachamim disagreeing. So if rove siman is kekulo, then why they will agree that if you did the rove shkita inside of the right location and the last third outside, it should be fine. So amale Rav Yosef. How do you know that that Mishnah later on is not authored by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? Who says that that Rov Echad is both a Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe it's a Dati Yachin, it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Tilma Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Ktani La. Samar Labaye, Abaye says, what do you mean? Maybe Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda wrote it. Ato kol rube da alma Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Ktani La. Every time you see Rov and Shas, that means that that opinion is authored by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody else holds a Rov. Hey, ano ruba de shchita kamina. Hishmanu lehuda pligi. No, I'm not saying to you that everywhere in Shas that we use the term Rov or ruba kakulo see by Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, I'm saying to you that in shchita we know that there's a machlok between the chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda about this issue. And so I'm saying to you that when it uses the term Rov in shchita, it's most likely authored by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. That's not a ridiculous assumption. Now Gemara has a lishna achrina. In the Lishna Achrina, the Gemara starts with the question asked by Rav Chista on Rav Huna. That's what Rav Huna says in the Lishna Achrina. And then Rav Chista challenges it. So it's just what we just read in the Gemara, just in reverse. So I'll move through it pretty quickly since we've seen it already. Lishna Achrina, Amri Lo, Am Rav Huna, Am Rav Asi, Machloket, Shehigrim Shlish, Vefshachat Shnei Shlish. Machloket between Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, and Rabbanan is where he started outside the Makom HaShchita for a third, and then he completed the last two thirds in the makom shchita. The Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Sever, Midah, Ava, Chatzi, Kane, Pagum. The equivalent of case where there's a hole in the trachea, and you do the shechita into that hole of the trachea. There, you only have to cut a little more to get to the robe, and that's considered a shechita, so too over here. When you hit the point that the animal's going to die, you're doing the shechita, and that'll be sufficient. What you cut before, that was just like a hole in the kaneh, no different than that. V'rabbanan are going to disagree. Hatam makom shechita. Over there, all of the cut is in a place of shechita. Hachalav makom shechita. One third of it done outside the makom shechita, and therefore may not qualify to get you to the robe shechita that you need. Aval, in a case of shachat shnei shlish, v'grim shlish, in case where he did the shechita for the first two thirds, and then he broke out in the last third, divrei akol k'shira. Everybody agrees that it's k'shira, the hatanan. We have a Mishnah later on that says Rubu Shalachad Kamo, that the robe of the trachea is like the whole siman. So you see, everybody holds of Rubu Kukulo. Everybody holds of Rubu Kukulo, then the Chachamim have to agree in one case that it's Rubu Kukulo, and that's the case where you did the two-thirds Shechita, and then you only moved out for the last third. So Matki Flav Rav Chista. So now Rav Chista proposed this as the alternative explanation in the previous Lishna. Now, Rav Chista is challenging this Lashon that Rav Huna brought down. Man Leimalan, Daha Rubu, the Hotam, Lav Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudak, Tony Law. Who says that Mishnah later on is not authored by Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? Dilma Rav Yosef, Amalei Rav Yosef, Ato Kol Rube Da Alma Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Ktonilu? Now here you have Rav Yosef being the challenger of the position before we had Abaye being the challenger of this position. But Rav Yosef says, wait a minute, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is the author of every position of robe and shas? Amalei, Ana Ruba De Shechita Kamina. I'm not talking about all robes and shas. I'm talking about here, by Shechita. Kamina Lo De Pligi, we have a Mitzvah. We know from our Mishnah that they argue on this point. So it would make a lot of sense to say that the author of a position or stam mishnah that says Ruba Kukulo is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda when we're talking about Shechita. Now Gemara says, Higrim Shlish, V'shachat Shlish, V'higrim Shlish. The unusual case here we dealt, until now we dealt with the Hagrama being outside the Makom Shechita either in the beginning or in the end. This case, it happens in the middle. He did a Kosher Shechita for a third, moved out for the second third, and then came back in for the third of the Shechita. Rav Huna Marav Sheira, Rav Huna in the name of Rav says it's Kasher, Rav Yehuda Marav Trefa. So they're arguing what Rav said. Rav Huna says that Rav said that this case is kasher, and Rav Yehuda said that Rav said in this case it's a treifa. Huna ma Rav shiraki nafka chiyuta b'shchita kanafka. Because when the animal dies, you are doing it at the time that you're doing shchita. Because the case over here is higrim shlish, you're outside the beta shchita, v'shlish, now you're doing shchita for a third, and then you go back out again. So at the point in time when you hit rov, you're doing shchita, and that's what matters. The animal dies while you're in the process of shechita. Yehuda Marav Trefa, being in Rubav Shechita Veleka. The time the animal dies, you have to have the robe be done b'shechita. Not that there's a robe of shechita in the end, but at that moment, after you have robe shechita, so the time you reach two-thirds of the kaneh, and or the simanim, and you're going to be classified, the animal is going to die at that point in time, at that point, you've only done one-third b'shechita, because you started out with higrim for a third. Just the exact opposite case. He did a shechita for the first third, broke out for the second third, and then came back in for the last third. What's the din here? So Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda quotes from Rav again, Kshira. His opinion is going to be exact opposite over here. At the time, the animal has to have robe shechita. In the previous case, you had two-thirds b'shechita, one-third b'agrama. That way it qualified. In this case, you have one-third is shechita, and two-thirds are agrama. So according to Rav Yehuda Marav, case over here, you have shechita for two-thirds, and agrama for one-third is going to be machshirit because the robe was done b'shechita. In the previous case, he had two-thirds done by Agrama, one-third done by Shechita. Even though the death or the moment of death was the time he's doing Shechita, that doesn't matter because you need robe. The robe of the cutting must be done in a proper Shechita. Review the Rav's position came out. Atu Shailula Rav Huna. They brought this case in front of Rav Huna. Amalu Trefa. And he said Trefa, just like you were just saying, Shol. He said, because their opinions are basically the opposite over here. At the moment that the animal died, he was doing Hagrama. So that wouldn't be classified as a good Shechita according to Rav Huna. So Shomer Rav Huda got wind of this, that Rav Huna was disagreeing with him. Ikpid, he said, got upset. Amar, tarifno umachsher. When I say it's a trefa, you say it's kasher. Umachsharna, when I say it's kshera, you say tarif. Now, Amar Rav Huna, shapir kam ikpid. Rav Huda has a right to be upset over here. What I'm doing is not so right. Chada, number one, iu shmile mine de Rav, vana lo shmile. First of all, he heard this directly from Rav, and I didn't. Now, in the first case, he did hear it from Rav. Because Rav Huna quotes the name of Rav, and Rav Yehuda quotes in the name of Rav. In the second case, it's Rav Yehuda Marav. So Rav Yehuda heard it from Rav, but then when it came to Rav Huna, it just says they asked him a question, and it gives them an answer. He doesn't give them an answer in the name of Rav, because he didn't hear that second issue from Rav himself. So this is the number one, he has an advantage over me, because he heard it from Rav directly. Number two, I think Rav Yehuda is upset here because first of all, he's a very strong Talmid of Rav and he's quoting Rav, and then all of a sudden you have Rav Huna quoting Rav and disagreeing with Rav Yehuda, who's a Talmid of Rav. I think that might have been part of his issue, which is that Rav Huna was basing his position on what he said he heard from Rav. Not just a logical argument. He says that's the Masorah that he had from Rav. I think that probably also got Rav Yehuda upset. But Haika Ruba Bishkito. And number two is Rav Yehuda's right that you have robe Bishkito. In Ochanami, in the previous case, only one third was done Bishkito. But over here in this case, the robe is done Bishkito. And so it makes a lot of sense that it should be kasher. So Amalei Rav Chista, this is very interesting. Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, lo tahad rebecha. Don't back out. Don't back down. Don't reverse your position. Deimkein misadvata lekamaito. Because if you back away from your position in the second case, then you'll have to back away from the first case. Because as you said, Shoal, his position, Rav Huna's position is consistent. His logic is consistent between the two cases. So if he's going to say, oh, I'm wrong about the second case, that means he's also wrong about the first case. And in the first case, he did hear it from Rav. So hata mai taima kamashar. Why did you say it's mutar? Or why did you say it's a good shechita in the first case? The moment of death, you were in the process of shechita. That's good. So in our case here, the second case, even though two-thirds of it was shechita, but at the moment of death, when you're at the robe point, you were outside the makom shechita. So bagroma kanafka, and therefore it's not kasher. That's why Rav Chista suggests to Rav Huna that he shouldn't back away from his position, because the logic is consistent. And since the logic is consistent over here, there's no reason to back away from your position. Now, the machlokas over here between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda is different than what we saw before. And that's because before we already had a case. If you remember the Gemara today that we started out with, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Asi, machlokas b'sheshachat shnei shlish, v'higrim shlish. That there's a machlokas when they have two-thirds that was shechita, and then they did the higrama at the end. So over there we had Rav Huna speaking, and Rav Huna said over there that if unless the two-thirds of shechit is done with shechita, then it's no good, according to Rav Yehuda. And even with two-thirds of shechita, it's no good, according to the Rabbanon. So Rav Huna clearly said that this whole idea of going death happening at the moment of shechita, or robe shechita, none of that matters, because Rav Huna already said that that's not the case. Yet over here, we have Rav Huna quoting the name of Rav and saying, oh, the time of death is the most important issue. If you're doing shechita at that point, it's good. Right. Very good. So you're on the right track. Tosfos answers that Rav Huna is speaking in two different people's names. He says over there, it's Rav Huna Amar Rav Asi. Over here, it's Rav Huna Amar Rav. It can be inconsistent because it's not the same people. Rashi takes it one step further and says what you said, Shoal, which is we're talking about different issues. Totally. The case over there, like you were suggesting, is just Rav Huna Amar Rav Asi is explaining the machloket between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't mean that he holds like it. Doesn't mean that that's the halacha that way. He's just explaining to you the machloket. On the other hand, over here, when it's Rabbi Huna Marav, he's giving you the halacha. This is in, according to Rashi, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus' position. This hagrama is hagrama according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. It's not like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonon. This hagrama is even above. It's above the Chodah de Kova. It's above the Shipua Kova. That's hagrama we're talking about here in the position of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. And so therefore, he's addressing different issues. Rashi says in order to reconcile between them, he says that the cases are totally different. And he points out that, of course, one is Rav Huna Amar Vasti. Over here, it's Rav Huna Amar Rav. Tosfos says that's sufficient to differentiate between them. Rashi says, no, beyond that, the cases are totally different. Now, Iklar of Nachman the Sura. Nachman went to visit Sura. Bo Minei. They asked him a question. Shachat Shlish. V'higrim Shlish. V'shachat Shlish. This is the case that we just discussed. They asked him what the situation is. He did Shkit in the first third. Hagram in the second third, and the last third he did shechita. What's the din? Samalu, lav hainu de Rabbi Elazar ben Yume. Don't you have this? We have a statement from Elazar ben Yume, and that tells us that Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yume shechita suya kemasrek sheira. If you do shechita like a comb, it's a good shechita. What's a shechita like a comb? So a comb has teeth in it. And the teeth, if you look at the comb with the teeth, it's up, down, up, down. So the way Rashi explains it, in the simplest way to understand what this means, kemasrek is a zigzag. He cut the shechita as a zigzag. If you do that, you have protrusions. You have protrusions going out, coming in, like the teeth of a comb. That's the way Rashi explains it. And that means that that's exactly this case, where you end up with a groma, end up going outside the makom shechita. And nevertheless, we said that it was sheira. The other possibilities in terms of what a masrek is, there are some that say it was as he moved through the shechita, he went up and down in the shechita. Not like I was suggesting we had a zigzag, which is on the horizontal plane. He's going back and forth. Rather, on the vertical plane, he's doing like this. As he's doing the shechita, he's going up and down as he makes his way down the shechita. The other possibility, which is a little strange, that he makes multiple cuts in the kaneh. He shechs, he does multiple cuts in the kaneh, and that's what it means, teeth, like teeth of the comb. And the last possibility, which is raised by the achronim in the pre-show, mentioned the fact that he never cuts into the airspace of the kaneh. He does a zigzag. He cuts the basar that's around the windpipe, but he never actually goes into the hollow area of the windpipe. And that's what it means, kimasreik. He's moving back and forth within the flesh or the cartilage that's around the kaneh, but he never actually enters into the kaneh. So all of these are different explanations for masreik. But the important issue here is that part of it was outside of the area that is makom shkita. And nevertheless, we consider it to be kshera. So it says the same thing over here. Wait a minute, maybe Rabbi Yozer ben Minumi says it's kshira because the entire zigzag was done by Makom Shkita. It was all done inside the Makom Shkita. Who said he went outside the Makom Shkita? If he did it in the right location for Shkita, okay, so he zigzagged. What's the big deal? All he has to do is if he didn't violate any of the five halachot of Moshe Mitzinai, then he's fine. He did a good shkita. Why should it matter that he did it in a zigzag manner? When I says ma'ubedetem, I would have thought being in shkita mifurat, we need to have a shkita that is a clear and open cut veleka, and you don't have that when you do the zigzag. So that's what Gemash Malon, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Minumi is coming to teach us. So based on that, it would no longer be approved to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman gave a psak halacha that in this case of a grama shlish, it would be fine. And he says it's just like this position, Rabbi Elazar ben Minumi. The Gemara rejects it and says that the cases aren't comparable. Elazar ben Minumi might be talking about a case where it's totally within the Makom Shkita, not outside the Makom Shkita. So it's not clear that Elazar ben Minumi is addressing the case that's being asked of Rav Nachman. Yotiv Rabbi Abba Achorei Rav Kana. Rabbi Abba was sitting behind Rav Kana. Yotiv Rav Kana Kamei Rav Yehuda. Kana sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. Yotiv Kamar. And he's saying, Shachat Shlish, Vigrim Shlish V'Shachat Shlish, this case, Mao, what's the din? Again, Shkita in the beginning, Shkita at the end, and Agram in the middle. We know what the din is because he is asking Rav Yehuda. Rav Kana is asking Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda, we know his position there. His position is Kshira. Amalei Shkitato Kshira because you have Ruba the Shkita. Robe of the cut was done by Shkita. Higrim Shlish, Shachar Shlish, Higrim Shlish. The other case, this is the first case that Rav Yehuda addressed. Mao, what's the din? Amalei Shkitato Psula. It says that it's a problematic Shkita. Shaka B'makoma Nekev Mao. If you do Shkita in a place where there's a hole in the kaneh already, and all you do is complete the cut to get to robe, Amalei Shkitato Kshira, that's just a fine Shkita. Shachat Upagabo Nekev Mao. He does a shchita, but he doesn't hit rov. Before he hits rov, he bumps into the hole. The question here is, this hole in the kaneh, is it on the side that you're coming for the shchita, or is it on the back side of the kaneh? So if it's on the front side of the kaneh, you cut, and then you go through the hole, and then you just add on to the hole. That, he says, is a kshira. On the other hand, if you cut, but you never reach rov, but by the time you reach the middle of the kaneh, you've reached the hole from the other side, and then it becomes a thing is severed all the way through. So Amalei shchita to psula. In that case, the shchita is no good. So also Rabbi Abba Amra kamei de Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Abba told over what he heard here to Rabbi Lazar. Also Rabbi Lazar kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, and he told it over to Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalei maishna says, I don't understand the difference. I don't understand why if you go into a hole and continue it to get to rov, that it's kasher, and if you do a cut that reaches the halfway point and then you hit the hole, that is not considered to be kshira. What's the difference? So Rabbi Elazar says, Amalei, I'll explain you the difference. Shachat b'makom nekev nase kemosh kemish shachat oved kachavim agmar Yisrael. Says when you do it in the place there's a nekev, it's as if a goy started the shchita, which means it's ois shchita, it's not shchita at all. And then Yisrael finishes it. When Yisrael gets there, he gets to the point. When he hits rov, it's Yisrael that's doing the shchita, and that's fine. That's the same thing as the nekev over here. Shachat upagobo nekev. On the other hand, if he does shchita and then he hits the hole afterwards, Nasa Kemish Shchita Yisrael, it's as if the Yisrael began the Shchita, Begamar Ovid Chachavim. And the point when you reach Rov, it was as if the Ovid Chachavim is doing the Shchita at that point, like when you hit the hole. The hole makes the Rov, and at that point you're not doing Shchita anymore. So the Rov is hit when you hit the hole, and therefore there's no active Shchita at that point in time. So he says, Kari Alei, Rabbi Yochanan said about Rabbi Elazar, Ovid Chachavim, Ovid Chachavim. It's not that he was actually calling him an Ovid Chachavim itself, it wasn't that. He actually said, you know, you are an Ovid Chachavim, but rather it's an expression. He's saying, Ovid Chachavim, Shmoy Ovid Chachavim. That doesn't matter. Ovid Chachavim, not an Ovid Chachavim. It's irrelevant because the cases aren't comparable. You can't compare the case of Ovid Chachavim to the case over here. And why is that? Amar Rava, Shapir, Karele, Ovid Chachavim, Ovid Chachavim. Rava says that Rabbi Yochanan's point or issue that he had with Rabbi Lezar makes a lot of sense. Because Bishlam Ahotam, over there, Midahavale, Lisrael, the Mishchat, Ruba, Velo Shachat. Over there, the Yisrael had the opportunity to do the Rova Shkita, and he didn't do it. He handed it off to an Ovid Chachavim. When the life force of the animal leaves, the Ovid Chachavim is the one who's performing the Shkita at that point in time. In our case, over here, the Yisrael shechted everything that was possible for him to shech. There's nothing more he could do. There's nothing more he could do. He did the Shkita on the places that he could do Shkita. So why should it matter if he did Shechita first and then hits the Nekev? Or there's a Nekev and then he continues the Shechita? He did whatever Shechita was necessary, he did, to hit the point of Rov, and to hit the point where the Rov HaKaneh is severed. And so therefore it'll be considered a kosher Shechita. So that differentiation, that distinction doesn't make sense. But it'll be Chachamim, it's different. The Yisrael had the opportunity to do it, and he hands it off. Over here, the Yisrael did everything that was in his power to do. So the two cases aren't parallel. If two cases aren't parallel, then we really don't understand this distinction that is being drawn by Rabbi Yehuda between the fact that he cuts and then hits the Nekev, or if the Nekev's there and then he continues the Shechita from that point forward. Okay, the next Mishnah gives us the Makom of Shechita. It says, Ashochet minat tzadim, Shechita tok shira. The Yishech on the side of the neck, that's a good Shechita. Hamolik minat tzadim, on the other hand, if you do Malika from the side of the neck, Malika tok psula, that Malika is no good. Remember, Shechita is doing with a knife, Chulin, Kodshim, everything is done that way. Shechita, from the tzavar, from the neck. On the other hand, Malika is done by the thumb of the Kohen, the nail in the thumb of the Kohen. It's only done on birds inside of the Mikdash. So when it comes to Shechita, Shechita is Kshira Gam, we'll see in a second the mission, from the front and from the Tzadim, from the two sides. Malika is only good from the back of the neck, and we'll see all of this in a minute, but from the sides of the neck and the front of the neck, it will not be considered to be a good Shechita. And that's because Rashi says when you come in from the Tzadim, when you come in from the side, you're guaranteed almost to hit the Simanim before you hit the Mifareket. You have the Simanim, which is in front, you have the Kaneh, behind that you have the Veshet, and then behind that you have the spinal column, the Mifareket, the back of the neck. So if you cut in the animal from the back of the neck, you're going to hit the Mifareket, you'll hit the, break the neck, and the animal will die. That's one of the trefos. If you hit the Mifareket and break it, the animal will be a trefos before you cut through the Simanim. On the other hand, if you cut from the front or the side, you will hit the Simanim before you hit the back of the neck. And therefore, you will kill the animal by cutting through the Simanim, which is a Shechita, and the Mifareket, or the neck that's behind that, won't be broken. It won't matter because it'll be dead by the time you get to the Mifareket. That's the reason that Minat Tadim, or from the front, is good. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfot points out that maybe you could have differentiated and said that from the sides is only Bidyevet. Even though the Mishnah over here, as Rashi says, a Shochet Minat Tadim sounds Bidyevet Shechita Tok Shira. He says that's because of the Seifa, the next piece, which is Amolik Minat Tadim, and the Katob Psula is even Bidyevet, it's Psula. So therefore, I wrote the Resha in a Lashon Bidyevet, even though the Chatkila, it's fine to do from Tadim. So it says, maybe no, maybe it's only Bidyevet. And Shochet Minat Tadim is only Bidyevet. And the Chatkila, we prefer you don't do that. Even if you pull the Simanim over and you cut the Simanim first, we prefer you don't do it because maybe you won't pull the Simanim over. So there are risks to cutting from the side. And therefore, he says it's only Bidyevet Kshira. Rashi says the Chatkila, it sounds like it's Kshira. Hashochet min Orif. Someone who checks from the back of the neck gets a tob psula. There is clearly a pasul because he's cutting through the mifreket. He cuts through the neck and breaks the neck bone, the spinal column, before he reaches the simanim. And that's going to make it to a trefa before he does the shechita. On the other hand, a molik min orif, milika tok shira. When he did the malika from the back, the malika is good because that's the way malika is done. Malika is done from the back, and you will go through the mifreket. You will break the neck before you go to the simanim. As Rashi points out here, if you're in the process of doing something, we don't worry about it. So here by Malika, the din is to go from the back. So even though you broke the neck and the animal technically is a trefa before you hit the simanim, since you're in the process of reaching the simanim, it's all fine. That's considered to be not a problem of trefa. On the other hand, if you shecht from the back, when you do the shechita from the back of the neck, when you cut the mifareket, that's not the way you're supposed to do shechita. Therefore, you make it into a trefa before you cut the simanim. You're not in the beginning of a process because the process doesn't begin from the back of the neck. The process is supposed to be done from the front of the neck. And that's Ein Hachanami. When you cut from the front of the neck, even though we just said that a veshet has even the smallest hole in it is a trefa. So how do you cut through the rove of a veshet? As soon as you make one incision into the veshet, it's a trefa. And you haven't completed the shechita until you get to the rove of that siman. The answer is, when you're in the process of doing shechita, that is considered to be a good shechita, and we don't worry about tarfut. But where you're doing something that's not the proper methodology, then we do worry about tarfut, and that's why you can't cut or use a knife from the back of the neck. Hamolek min orif, somebody does malika from the back of the neck, mikatok shira. Hashochet min etzavar, someone who shucks from the neck, shkitatok shira, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Again, even though it's written in lashon b'dievet, that's lechatchila the way you're supposed to do it. And same thing with the malika of the oaf from the back of the neck, that's kshira, meaning lechatchila it's kshira. Hamolek min etzavar, somebody does malika on the front of the neck, malikato psula. Then it's not a good malika because malika is from the back of the neck, not from the front. Kola oref, kasher the malika. The whole back of the neck, the nape of the neck, is kasher for malika. Kola tzavar, kasher l'shchita. And all of the front of the neck is kasher l'shchita. Nimtza, kasher b'shchita, pasul b'malika, kasher malika, pasul b'shchita. The summary of the Mishnah is, anywhere you can do shchita, you can't do malika. Anywhere you can do malika, you can't do shchita. Okay, my oref, what's the back of the neck? I mean, I'm translating it for you, so you know what it is. The Gemara wants to know, what is Oref? Ilema Oref Mamash. Oref means the back of the head. Oref means opposite the face. You have the face, and oref will be the back of the skull opposite the face. That would be the oref. By the birds, you have to do it by oref. Maybe I would think it was on the back of the head. Ilem oref amash, my area shochet, afilo molek nami. Then why is it a problem of just shchita? It's a problem of malika. Because mimul arpo amar rachmana. The Torah says that when you do malika, it's not on the oref, not on the back of the face, meaning on the back of the head. Ela mul arpo, below arpo, not on the oref itself. Ela my oref. So what is the oref? Mimul oref. So that means that when I mean orif, I don't mean literally the back of the head, but I mean mul orif, something that sees the orif. Kedektani seifa, as it says in the seifa, kol ha-orif kasher l'melika. The entire orif, the entire back of the neck, is good for melika. Menahani mili. Where do we know this? The Tan Rabbanon mi mul arpo. The pasuk says that you do melika mi mul arpo. Mul haro'et orif. Mul means something that sees the orif, something that sees the back of the head. V'chenu omer v'hu yoshev mi muli. Now we have the pasuk in last week's parsh of Balak, when he calls for Bilam to help him, says these people came in here, v'yoshev mimuli, b'nei zor sitting opposite me, and I'm scared. V'omer, we have another pasuk that says, ki panu elai oref v'lo panim. They turned the back of their heads to me, and not their faces. So my v'omer, why do I need two pasukim for? V'chi teima oref gufe lo yadina en hecha. He said, I don't know what the oref is. I don't know where the oref is. So that's what we have the pasuk from Yirmiyahu to teach us. The Neidam Muldi De Hecha. If we don't know where the Orif itself is, then we won't know. So that's something that is supposed to see the Orif, where that's supposed to be. So Tashma. Ki Panu Elai Orif Alopanim. When the puzzle tells you that they turn their backs of the heads to me and not their faces, Bechlau De Orif Lahade Panim. That teaches you that the Orif is opposite the face. So the face in the front and the Orif, which is the back of the head in the back. But that's not where you do the Malika, because the Malika says Mul Arpo. Now, mul comes from the lashon of vehu yoshev mimuli. He sat opposite me, proxite to me, close to me. That's what mimuli means. So mimul orif means that somewhere on the back that you can see the back of the head. Well, what sees the back of the head? That's the back of the neck. The back of the neck is the area that's good for the melika. Amrei b'nei Rav Chiya, mitzvot melika machzir simanim l'chreya orif. The real way to do melika is to actually pull the simanim out and then cut through them before you go through the mifereket. You turn the simanim over onto the top and go through the back. When it says makzir, it says ikadami af makzir. Some explain with this statement by Bnei Rabbi Chiya means that you can do the hakzara. Ikadami makzir, you dafka, you must do the hakzara. You must take the simanim in. Umistavro, and it makes sense, kamando amar af makzir. Makes more sense according to one who says that you can if you want. If you opt to, you can be Makzir the simanim around. My, how do you know that's the case? Miktani, because the way of our Mishnah is laid out. It says in our Mishnah, Shochet mina orif, shchitato psula. Hamolek mina orif, milkato ksheira. You do shchit on the orif, it's pasul. If you do malik on the orif, then it's kasher. Ve'isakadatcha makzir davka. If you say that you have to pull the simanim out above the mifareket, above the back of the neck, so that you cut the simanim before you make the animal to a treif, if that is absolute, then my area molek. Afilu shuchet nami. Why are you only saying that malikas kshira? In that instance, even shchita would be kshira. If you're doing shchita and you cut the simanim first, even though they're behind the head, that's fine. That would be considered a good shchita because you're cutting the simanim first. Ikur. We saw three-way machlokas about what ikur is. One of those was ikur simanim, that you sever the siman before you cut it. So over there, it seems to be that you've actually severed the siman. That's why it's called ikur. Over here, the simanim are still attached, and that's why it's not necessarily called ikur. Then the Gemara says, El Alav Shvamina, must have to conclude from here, Af Machzir. Then when Rabbi Yehuda said it, they give you permission also to be Machzir. You don't have to do it, but you can do it that way. Umat Nitan, and what's our Mishnah case? Is a case below the Hadar. It's a case where he didn't turn the Simanim around. So our Mishnah is a case where he didn't turn the Simanim around. Therefore, the Malika is Kasher, but the Shchita is Psula. On the other hand, if you had moved the Simanim around, then it would have been kasher for Malika and kasher for Shchita. Okay, we'll stop over here.